We're going to talk just for a little while about the Word. The Word. We're going to go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's a great thing. It was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We've come to worship Him in spirit and in truth this morning, the Word. Jesus, guide us today as we hear your word. Have your way in our hearts. Touch each and every family represented here this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you in advance for what you have already done. We thank you in advance for every prayer request that was made today that you're going to meet the need in your way, in your time. God, we ask that you touch in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're seated, bump your neighbor and say, you look good in the house of the Lord this morning. I hear some laughing because they know probably the person by them. They do look good in the house of the Lord this morning. So glad that each and every one of you are here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God robed Himself in flesh and became a human being. What a God. What a God. Jesus reveals His essential nature in what He taught and did. John wrote about Jesus as fully human and fully God. Although God took upon Himself full humanity and entered history with the limitations of a human being, He never ceased to be the eternal God, eternally existing, the creator, the sustainer of all things, and the source of eternal life. John's gospel tells the truth about Jesus, the foundation of all truth. If we cannot or do not believe in Jesus' true identity, we will not be able to trust our eternal destiny to Him. You've got to believe that Jesus is. You've got to believe that He is God. You've got to believe that God is God. And He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. John starts at the beginning. With the first 18 verses of John called the prologue, many commentators consider the prologue to be a poem or at least rhythmical in nature. Some commentators have actually suggested that verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 12 and 14 through 18 might actually have been Christian hymns of that day. The prologue highlights most of the insights and truths that we find in the rest of the gospel. John introduced key terms like the Word, God, life, light, darkness, witness, the world, rejection, reception, belief, regeneration, becoming a child of God, or incarnation, the Word becomes flesh, glory, grace, truth, fullness. All these things are introduced in this wonderful gospel. In the rest of the gospel, John expanded and he illustrates each of these from Jesus' life and His ministry and His work here in the world wrapped in flesh. Throughout John's gospel, Christ is presented in the following ways. The one who expresses God, the Word, God Himself, the giver of eternal life. Do you know who that is? Are you glad you know who that is? the bringer of light into a dark world, the giver of grace to those who receive him, the unique son sharing in an intimate relationship with the Father, the bearer of heavenly truth, the expression of God's glory and fullness. The Word. John called Jesus the Word. John did not identify him immediately, but he described his nature and purpose before revealing his name. As the Word, Jesus fully conveys and communicates God, because he is God. He is God. The first 13 verses summarize the Word's relationship to the world as its rejected creator, visitor, light, and savior. Yet throughout the opening paragraph, John does not identify the Word as being human except in personal pronouns. This phrase is striking and arresting despite its familiarity. Understanding its meaning simply increases our wonder. When Jesus was born, he was not part man and part God. He was completely human and completely God. Colossians 2 and 9. Before Christ came, people could know God partially. But after Christ had come, people could know God fully because he became visible and tangible. Hebrews 1, chapter verses 1 through 13. Christ is perfect. He is the perfect expression of God in human form. The two most common errors that people make about Jesus are minimizing his humanity or minimizing his divinity. Jesus is both divine and human. Yes, he is. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. By becoming human, Christ became the perfect teacher. He became the perfect example. He became the perfect sacrifice. Jesus came as a sacrifice for all sins, and his death satisfied God's requirements for the removal of sin. The Word is God in action. It is God in action. You want to have something change in your life? Put some action to it. Put some action to your words. Boy, I'm eating my words this morning, I can tell you. You got to put action to your words. Words are just words unless there's action behind it. To understand how Jesus can bless our lives as the Word, we must understand how words were perceived by the writer of this biblical text. To the first century Jews, words were not simply sounds in the air. The word was a unit of energy. It was an effective power. A word not only said things, it did things. It did things. Thus, when we read of the account of the creation in Genesis, God speaks and things happen. Things happen. Over and over we read, and God said. In response to what God said, light was created, water was gathered, earth was sculpted, stars were hung in the heavens, birds soared, fish swam, animals roamed the land, and humankind was formed in the image of God. Thus, the Word of God represents God in action. God in action. You want some God in action in your life? Begin to apply the Word of God to your life, to your situation, to your trial. Consequently, when we see Jesus as the Word, we are observing God in action. Jesus is more than a good man. He's more than a good teacher or a powerful prophet. He is all of that in one, and more, and more, and more. He is more than that. He is more than you need. He is more than your problem. He is more than your circumstance. He is more than your dilemma. He is more than your fear. He is more than your frustration. He is more than your anger, or your upsetness, or your hatred, or your failures. He is more. He is God in action. He is more than a supernatural being such as an archangel. He is God in action. He is the Word. He is the light. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He is everything and more. The Word. And all other living beings are created. All other living things were created. But Jesus Christ as God incarnate is the creator who consented to human birth. He consented to human birth so that he could be one with us for a season, so that he could share our pain, know our temptation, encounter our problem, and then redeem us from our sins. You know, I'm appreciative of that. Have you ever really thought about that? Check this out. Have you gone through something and you have a million people telling you what you should do, how you should do it, but they've never been through it? And you sit back and you think, you know, if you had lived through what I lived through, you might have a little different take on this. But God took that question or fear out of the equation because he knows your hurts. He knows your, he experienced them all and more. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. What distinguishes the actions of God from the actions of human beings is the durability of divine actions. Human build, and we have things that we have built in past, but those things decay. You know, you could leave a city alone and evacuate a city, and it won't be long before it'll be a jungle. It will decay, it'll crack, it'll fall. If it's not maintained, look at our roads. You don't maintain them, they're going to go away. You're going to have a pig trail there before long. Look at the seven wonders of the world built by human hands. Crumbling, falling. Many of them don't even exist anymore. But in contrast, the wonders created by God's hands, the things that he has made and created and sculpted are still with us, and they still astound us. Stars that have never varied in their course since time began. Snow on towering mountain peaks high up in the mountain, and the sun is shining. In the valley, it's warm and hot. But that snow that's closer to the sun is still cool and cold and icy. Wind that blows where it wills, and we cannot tell from where it comes or where it goes. Snowflakes that fall by the billions, and yet no two are ever alike. A delicate ecosystem designed so that the carbon dioxide that you and I exhale for life is life for plants, and in turn they give back oxygen so that we can live. Sodium and chloride, apart by themselves, they're poisonous, but put together and they make salt for seasoning and preservation of our food. Hydrogen and oxygen, which are both flammable, but combined they comprise water. Water puts out fire. What a God. What a God. What an awesome God we serve. The Word not only creates, but the Word restores. The wonders of God are true, enduring wonders that time does not and cannot erode. Thus, when we see the actions of Jesus as the divine Word, we behold that which endures the test of time. The blood of Calvary's cross has not been dried up or diluted or washed away. It can still make the foulest, dirtiest, rottenest sinner clean and whole. Hallelujah. When the questions are asked, what can wash away my sins and what can make me whole again? There isn't but one answer, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody else declared the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day to day. I get hung up right there every day. Today, today, tomorrow, tomorrow, whatever day it is, that blood never, ever, ever loses its power. That's why the power of Christ, as the Word of God, is always able to conquer the works of Satan. When God made human beings, we were created in God's image. Nothing Satan does can take that away from us. Satan can take away your health or your wealth, or if we allow him to, he can take away things that we find very important to us. Take away our hope. He can take away our security. He can take away maybe our minds, but we are still the creation of God. We are still created in the image of God, and it's still present in us. All that we need is the right touch, like a buried seed awaiting the sunshine and the rain. Sometimes you got to have some stuff piled on top of you. No matter how far you have fallen, no matter where you are at, or no matter if you have strayed, Jesus is able to awaken and to restore and to revive and to resurrect and to recreate within us the image of God that sin has buried but not destroyed. So when you have lost your way, if you will pick yourself up and find your compass, which is the Word of God, get a hold of the Word of God, get a hold of the things of God, and allow God to begin to write on your heart and your soul the written Word of God will not fail. Call on Christ, who is the Word of God, the God of action. The Word will put you back on the right track. Jesus is the Word of God in action. However, words also communicate. Communicate. You can communicate words of anger and frustration, and it can ruin your entire year, month, day, week. Or you can communicate words that encourage and pick up. Words that say you can make it. Maybe words that get you back in right relationship with someone you've hurt with another word. Words matter. Words are small things, but words have the power to kill. I personally have it's dumb, y'all don't think I'm crazy, but I don't like to go to bed at night without saying good night or I love you. Didn't start until I was older in life, but the last night I saw my dad alive, he said good night and I love you. No goodbye, no farewell. No, Dad, thanks for all you did for me. Good night, and I love you. Words, just simple words, but they mean something to me. Words. Jesus, the Word of God, He is a God of action. So when Jesus, as the Word, has a message to communicate to us, a word that will act with divine power and transform your life, if you will allow it to. You've got to allow God to come into your heart. He's a gentleman. Yes, he came and robed himself in flesh. Yes, he died on Calvary for you. But he's given you a choice. You've got to get into action. If you're bound like legion, Jesus is a word of deliverance. If you're in mourning like Mary and Martha, Jesus is a word of hope and resurrection. If you've given all like the widow and her two mites, Jesus is a word of affirmation and support. If you're old like Nicodemus, Jesus is a word about a second birth. If you've denied him like Peter did, Jesus is a word about second chances. If you're young like the little boy with his noonday lunch, Jesus is a word about using what you have. If you're hung up to die like a thief on the cross, or if you're up a tree like Zacchaeus, Jesus is a word of salvation. Whoever you are, Jesus, who is God in action, has a word for you. As the musicians come this morning, our lesson in the back this morning, we talked about priorities. We talked about making choices. We talked about when we stand before God, because of our priority, because of our choices, because of our actions. What do you think you're going to hear? What do you want to hear when you stand before God? What words do you want to hear? Because you're going to hear something. Words. Simple little words. Words. And the order of words, how you speak them, matter. Not only how you speak them, but what you put those words into action to do. Your actions that follow. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and He is the Word of God in action. And don't miss the significance of that and where He acts. He acts among us. That's where He applies this action. He's among us. Not only above us to judge us, but among us to give us joy. Not only above us to watch over us, but among us to walk with us. Not only above us to lift us up, but among us to love us. Not only above us to be the Holy One, but among us as our helper, as our friend. He sent the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to guide you and comfort you and lead you in all things. Not only above us as Lord, but among us as a leader. Not only above us as a righteous God, but among us as a redeemer and a friend. As Word, Jesus is God in action among us. Wherever we may find ourselves, in sickness, He is among us. In loneliness, He is among us. In heartache and heartbreak, He is among us. In confusion, He is among us. In turmoil, He is among us. When enemies are coming all about, He is among us. He is among us. Even when death comes, we are not alone. He is among us. We have seen His glory as a word of compassion and companionship, as a word of comfort and peace. God be among us. As a word of salvation and intercession, as a word of our sovereign Lord in action. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet all over the building this morning. I wonder if you would just step out of the pew where you are and make your way to the front, to the God of glory in your heart. Just give your heart to God today and just say, God, I want to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. What's your priority? What's your purpose? Jesus, the Word, God in action, is here this morning for the purpose of taking action in our lives. In our lives. There is absolutely no need, nor would it make any sense for you to walk out of this church frustrated today with the same fear, the same doubt, the same disappointment or depression that you walked in here with this morning. Why don't you just lay your burdens on the altar of God? Place your trust in the God of glory. And let His Word begin to turn your heart into action. Into action. Oh, close your eyes right now. Just lift your hands to heaven. That blood.
On Calvary.
That blood of Jesus. It's